There's so much for the mining tax. What about the carbon tax? Now, politically, it's supposed to change behaviour through cost pressure. In popular mythology, political mythology perhaps, it's a potentially punitive contribution to the cost of living. It might also be an expensive way to compensate some of our worst power-producing polluters. How did this happen? Richard Dennis is director of the Australia Institute. Joins you now. Richard, good morning.
Good morning.
Fair to say that the carbon tax, like its mining co-tax before it, was also the subject of some pretty serious rent-seeking attention.
Absolutely, and while I don't underestimate the influence of the mining industry, I disagree with Alex about the unprecedented nature of the mining tax campaign. It was precedented a few months previously
with the CPRS,
with the CPRS, and it was replicated soon after when the government rolled over on their promise on poker machine reform. So the mining tax had the advantage of it happening very quickly, but I think that big companies in Australia have been long accustomed to getting their way. It's just we don't usually see prime ministers fall. But again, I think it's an exaggeration to credit that all to the miners.
Sure,
Kevin Rudd
the failure of the CPRS and the fact that Rudd walked away from that was part of that, and I guess. That failure also gives the lie to some extent to the idea that the minority government is more vulnerable to this sort of attention.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the majority, the first term Rudd government couldn't get the carbon price through, and the allegedly vulnerable, unstable minority government managed to get it through. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of misunderstandings about these things. But of course, you know, Kevin Rudd did himself enormous harm when he backtracked on his own great moral challenge. But yes, he'd obviously been under sustained pressure from the big polluters running. I mean, the term's almost vanished now, but you might remember we were all very concerned about carbon leakage back in 2009 and 10. Carbon leakage was this claim that the introduction of a modest carbon price with very generous compensation would see all of our manufacturers flee offshore. Well, of course, the exchange rate's gone up around 30%. Since those claims were first made.
Yes.
The exchange rate has had far more impact on manufacturers than the carbon price was ever going to, but you don't hear anyone talking about exchange rate leakage.
Now, one of the interesting aspects around the discussion of both the CPRS and eventually the carbon tax, it was the influence that came not from what we might call the usual suspects here, the sort of energy sector and so forth, but there was a big impact on the eventual legislative outcome from the contribution of the environment movement as well.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, we saw this week, quite rightly, segments of the environment movement being highly critical of the incredibly generous compensation package that big polluters got. But let's not forget that other major environment groups were campaigning, say yes, to this very generous to polluters schemes. And indeed, at the time, the Greens and the government were trying to negotiate the detail of the scheme, and that's what these things boil down to, the detail of what's in the legislation.
Mm.
At a time in which two political parties were negotiating the detail, which could have perhaps reduced the amount of compensation we gave the polluters, the environment movement were themselves out there urging the parliament to simply say yes. So I think the real stroke of political genius for the polluters in this was getting the environment movement to cheer from the sidelines.
Now, who were the players here? I mean that's... It seems that there was such enthusiasm, such desire to get something, anything in place,
that
anything would be accepted.
That's right. And ultimately anything was accepted, but now people are looking at it and saying it's unacceptable. The Australian Conservation Foundation, for example, was very strongly behind both the original CPRS and its second incarnation. And, you know, good luck to them. That's their job to make these decisions. But let's be really clear, the scheme that's incredibly generous to polluters was warmly welcomed by these groups, rather than saying to the last minute, every $1 billion we give to the polluters is $1 billion that we can't spend on renewable energy. Every $1 billion we give to the polluters is $1 billion we can't spend on climate adaptation. The tens of billions of dollars that will flow to the polluters as a result of this deal are by definition tens of billions that can't be spent on more worthwhile causes. So when people say something is better than nothing, that's what they need to realise they were agreeing to.
Which is an interesting thing, because the Greens, of course, were instrumental in obstructing that first CPRS. And then it would seem everybody was keen to bend over backwards next time round.
Oh, well, you know, I've certainly raised plenty of concerns myself about the ability of the first scheme to lock in failure. I thought it was a bad idea, and second time round that the parliamentary politics were quite different. Mm. Second time round, the government was forced to negotiate with the Greens rather than with the Liberals, which you would have expected would generate a better outcome. But again, while that negotiation was taking place, large segments of the environment movement, certainly not all of them, rather than bolstering the hand of the Greens and saying, well, you know, hold out, get the best deal for the environment you can, even while the negotiations were still underway, the Green groups themselves were just saying yes.
It's a tangled web. Richard Dennis, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Richard is director of the Australia Institute. You also heard there from journalist Alex Mitchell and academic John Warhurst. A look there at lobbying, the chat that goes on behind the scenes. 29 after 9, the Oscar Pistorius case. We'll look at that next.